today is a special day. You are getting to witness a moment in history. You are getting to witness the first sermon I have ever given. That's right. Never have I ever done this before. In fact, I've received zero formal training on how to give a sermon, nor have I attended seminary. However, I do believe I am qualified to be standing up here today because I have what one might call training by osmosis. The definition of osmosis is the process of gradual or unconscious assimilation of ideas, knowledge, etc. This gradual assimilation of ideas and knowledge has been occurring in me for the past 29 years. Imagine this is my childhood bedroom, and now imagine this right here is my dad's office, where every Saturday night, 1 a.m., I hear him rehearsing his sermons, figuring out where to put the perfect inflection and how loudly to speak, and sometimes even rehearsing the hymns, even though he knows I'm a very light sleeper. So, as many of you know, I am Billy Hester's daughter, the minister here. I've grown up singing and dancing here my whole life, but standing up here giving a sermon today is by far the most nerve-wracking thing I've done in this church. I remember talking with Dad back in April about his sabbatical and about how he was looking to find preachers to cover his absence. Without thinking twice, I was like, oh, I'll do it. A little surprised, because we'd never talked about me preaching before, he asked me what I would preach about. I thought it over and said, well, I'll talk about the body and body image. To me, this seemed like the obvious and honestly the only topic I could preach about. Having gone to grad school for counseling psychology, I've since devoted my career to helping people heal their relationships with food and their bodies. So naturally, I proposed the idea of talking to you all about body image today. Dad somewhat skeptically then asked me, well, what does the Bible say about body image? And that was a good question. I know that there are some Bible verses that specifically talk about our bodies very explicitly, how to care for them, how to treat them. But what I find most telling is actually the absence or lack of verses and scripture that focus on our body and appearance. The Bible places a lot of emphasis on our inner qualities, our values, our thoughts, and our actions, which on some level we all know, right? Like, I think we can agree that a lot of what we're taught in church is to live from a heart-centered place. From a very early age, I remember being taught that out here is the world, and then in here is our truth. God, our intuition, spirit, and I was taught that this is what I can trust. This is what I lean into. If you're dealing with stress, having a rough day, we're taught to take deep breaths, to pray, come back home to center, to find peace, to turn inward. When you're making a big decision, you're weighing your options, you're not sure where to turn, we're taught to pray about it, to sit with it, to turn inward. Envying a coworker's promotion, we're taught, let it go. Come home to what matters. Lean into the love that is inside of you and in your heart. Over and over again, we're taught to tune in, come home, reconnect with God, love, and the beautiful peace within us. One of my favorite songs we sang at Asbury growing up is "Come and Find a Quiet Center in the Crowded Life We Lead." Spirituality and religion are designed to help us find our quiet center, to tune out the noise that surrounds us. Time and time again, we are taught this. Preachers preach on it. The Bible says it. Every religion values it. Except there is one huge area of our lives where we as a society, as a collective, we forget to apply these principles. When it comes to food, what we eat, when to eat, how much to eat, instead of turning inward, we read the magazines. We follow the blogs. We research the latest trends. When it comes to our body image, we look at pictures, magazine covers, and movie stars to tell us what we should look like. We see a highway billboard promoting one diet and we jump on that train. Then we hear from a friend of a friend that a different diet actually works better and we jump on that train. And so on and so forth. We obsess, we compare, we manipulate, control, and we look for answers out there instead of in here. As a society, when it comes to food, body image, and our self-worth, we almost exclusively look for answers outside of ourselves. I'm going to say that again. As a society, when it comes to food, body image, and our self-worth, we almost exclusively look for answers outside of ourselves. We're reaching, sometimes desperately, to find that magic pill, that perfect body, that one answer that will help us feel secure in our skin or worthy of love. But this is a never-ending game. The game can lead to feelings of self-doubt, guilt, shame, jealousy, inadequacy, obsessive tendencies. Trust me, I have run the race of trying to achieve, trying to reach perfection, trying to take advice from everyone else while totally disregarding my own body's needs, my own body's voice. You have more wisdom and truth inside of you than you'll ever find outside of yourself. And it is your duty, your responsibility as a person of faith to tune into that wisdom. You see, if you take the time to tune in and listen to that still, quiet center, the quiet voice within you that is always there, you'll hear it whisper, "You are enough." You'll hear your inner wisdom tell you that no matter what you do, what you eat, what you look like, you are loved and you are enough. Because that's the truth. And on some level, we know that. We know we are children of God. We know that our bodies are temporary, but our spirits are infinite. On some level, we know that no matter what we do, God will always love us and that our worth is unshakable. But we are living in a society that sends us the opposite message hundreds of times a day. This is what, I'm going to read through some values. This is what society values. Achievement. Success. Beauty. Youth. Power. Status. Perfection. If you are living by society's standards, you are always going to be striving for an unachievable goal. Our society profits off of your guilt and shame. Our billboards, magazine ads, and commercials exist to perpetuate your guilt and shame about who you are and what you look like. But you here today are choosing to practice a religion that has very different values than society. You gather here today as a community that values kindness, compassion, respect, love, forgiveness, and acceptance. 1 Samuel says, "People look at outward appearance, but God looks at the heart." The Bible straight up tells us that humans are going to be distracted by appearance. This has been something we've wrestled with for a very long time. The specific qualities we value have changed over the years, but in general, humans have a natural tendency to be tempted by shiny objects, whatever that is for you. But God looks at the heart. God places values on the qualities that make you, you, that go much deeper than your appearance. God says, "What's important to me is what's inside of you." Which we know, right? I'm not telling you anything earth-shattering here. But I think sometimes we forget that in order to pay attention to our hearts and to align our lives with God's values, we are going to have to intentionally resist the values of society, the values of the media, perhaps even the values of your parents or grandparents. As a spiritual community, you are here because you believe in the power of listening to God's voice above all other voices. And God's message is that you are enough. Just as you are, right in this moment, you are enough. So I want you to do a little visualization for me. Like Shirley said, I have my master's in mindfulness-based counseling, so I'm going to lead you through a little mindfulness, super short activity. So if you're comfortable, close your eyes. I want you to visualize you are driving down your favorite highway, and you're coming up on a billboard on the side of the road, and it says, "You are enough," in big, big letters. And then you keep driving, and you come across another billboard, and it says, "God loves you." And then you keep driving, and you come across another billboard, and it says, "You are a child of God." And then you keep driving, and you get to the end of the road, and there's one more billboard, and it says, "There is no flaw in you." And just notice how it feels to be receiving these messages. And you can open your eyes, come back to the room. And wouldn't it be nice if we received messages like that daily? Wouldn't it be nice if we lived in a spiritual bubble where there was no comparison or greed or needing the perfect body? Places like this do exist. Think of a monastery. Right? One reason monks all wear the same clothes is so that emphasis and attention is not placed on outward appearance. They try to eliminate as many distractions as they can that prevent people from connecting with God. But we're not living in a spiritual bubble or an intentional community. We're living in a world with tons of billboards that promote messages telling you that you're not enough. So you're going to have to do some work. You're going to have to make a conscious choice to turn inward and connect to your heart daily. You have to make a conscious choice to connect to your spirit daily, to recenter yourself when you feel convinced that you are broken, or your body isn't good enough, or you aren't lovable because of your size or weight. You have to make God's values your priority. The next time you're having critical thoughts about yourself, counter that with self-compassion. The next time you begin comparing your body to someone else's, counter that with acceptance. The next time you start counting your calories or feel guilty after eating, counter that with grace. Check in with your body before you eat. Come home and find your center. Offer gratitude for the food and the hands that prepared it. We get to choose every day whether we are going to walk in alignment with society's values or with God's values. Whether we are seeking information outside of ourselves or listening to the wisdom of the still small voice inside of us. The voice that reminds us that you are a child of God and you are not broken. Psalm 39 says, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. You are fearfully and wonderfully made." As cliche as it has kind of become, I really love the phrase, namaste, which means the light inside of me recognizes the light inside of you. My spiritual self recognizes your spiritual self. And it is from that place that we shall live and connect. You are light. You are truth. You are made of love. You are enough. So now, go forward, turn inward, and connect to that.